Benny Hinn's favorite radio personality, broadcasting legend, Drew Marshall.
Such great music playing. I don't want to talk to this next guy with this song going on.
Well, you don't want to talk to him, period, or just with the
I don't
song
want to talk to anybody. I just want to listen to the song.
Okay, well, then come we should on. Stop talking.
We've got to listen to Ray.
Yeah, okay.
Brother Ray.
Hey, mama, don't you treat me wrong. Come and love you, daddy, all night long, all night long. Hey, hey.
You know, who was the guy that played him in the movie?
Jamie Foxx.
Man, that was incredible.
Killer. He's an amazing actor.
As you have said, the comedians play the best dramatic
actors.
Roles.
Yeah. What's his name? There's this new movie about the Benghazi stupidness at the embassy and stuff. You know. Anyways, long story short, one of the guys from The Office is one of the main characters, and apparently he just kills it. So it's a theory that I believe is absolutely true.
This is my theory.
Yes.
We got a guy on the show now who I was just introduced to by a friend of mine who's a book, what is he, a book agent, an author? No, hold on. Steve, what is Don, what does he actually do? Why do people pay him money?
Don knows everybody, and he's a publisher. So he gets paid to acquire great books and talk about them all over the place. You know.
Yeah, okay. I just thought it was a more. I thought he did something more interesting.
Super impressed.
I just thought he was.
He travels the world talking about books and talking to great people. You know,
like us. Hey, folks, have you ever found yourself at the beginning of a big life change? Maybe you're getting married or divorced. Maybe you're having a child or burying a parent. Maybe you've been promoted or lost a job you loved, Tim. Maybe you've moved. Maybe you feel stuck, Rita McNeil. Maybe these big changes hit us hard. It's easy to lose our way. It's easy to think that God is leaving us alone in them. The good news is that God, who spoke the world into existence, who lovingly brought into being everything seen and unseen, is speaking into your big change. Drawing from the story of creation in Genesis, Beginnings, that's the book we're talking about, offers an empowering message of how God works through the transition in our lives. Just ask Caitlyn Jenner. As God orchestrated the ultimate transition when he created everything from nothing, he can handle the overwhelming details in your life. Beginnings is for everyone who faces significant transition in career, in relationships, in life stage, whether good or bad, by exploring the first chapter in Genesis day by day, creative act by creative act. Well, that's all the time we have for Steve. Thank you very much. Steve, let's just talk about your last name. Many people see it as Weens, but it's Wyans, as in the...
it's Weens.
Oh, it is Weens.
It is Weens.
Dang.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Why didn't you change your stage name? Why didn't you Steve Smith or something?
I know. I'm such a big deal that I needed to leave it as it is, Drew.
So let's say, you know, people have been waiting for the holidays to pass before they tell the kids that mom and dad are getting divorced. What do you say to these people?
Well, I think change, as you just said, is really, really brutal. And I think first I would want to be in the office with these two and say that life is really hard and that your life as it is right now is not over, as brutal as it is. One of the things I write about in the book is that when Moses asks God, what God's name is, sort of a cheeky question, a really bold question. God's answer is bizarre. God says these three Hebrew words, Eyeh, Asher, Eyeh, which is always translated, I am that I am, which is such a bad translation. What it really means is, I will be what I will be. which means that God is actually a verb. God is mystery. God winks and nods and says that whatever it is, wherever it is that you look for me, I am there one moment, and then you're going to have to keep looking because I will keep moving. And so what I'd want to tell this couple is, as tragic as this is, you're going to need to find a way over time to grieve and to help your kids grieve, to deal with it and to help your kids deal with it as honestly as possible. But then you're going to have to find yourself where you are and become the person that you are going to become, which is changing and evolving as well.
Okay, so basically, if I was to summarize it like the spiritual pessimist that I am, it's more of, hey, God is God, God's in control, God's on the throne, everything will be okay. It's just kumbaya stuff.
Absolutely not. That drives me crazy. No, actually, I mean, that's what I would say is like, I wrote this book out of a spirit of creative curiosity versus a systematic certainty. Okay. Because I think the people that say, you know, God is in control, God's on the throne, God's God, we're not, that's a kind of cop-out for living your life. And if it is true that we're created in God's image, then we're verbs as well, and that we're partners in the creative process, and that we need to dive in all the way in to the wondering that maybe creation keeps happening. Maybe that creation poem that begins the Bible is not just an event which we can argue about, you know, where are the dinosaurs and when did it happen and is it 24-hour periods. Instead, what if it's a pattern of all the beginnings that happen in our lives? What if it's, I mean, this is how the Bible starts. And what if this poetic mystery is meant to tell us something about how life is, gritty, real, actual life, and our place in it?
Okay, but bottom line in your book here, are we not talking about all these people who are sitting there going, oh my goodness, I'm not sure what's around the corner, I'm not sure what the future is going to hold, this is the start, right? Beginning is the start of something, they're afraid. There's a bit of fear, they're scared, and then they've got no choice, you know, God people, but to go, okay, God, it's yours. And then now everything should be peachy. Again, I'm trying to hang on to your book with my spiritually anemic knuckles.
Yeah. Well, love it, because that's the question everybody has. So there's this guy named Dan Gilbert. He's a psychologist. He's a scientist. He did a TED Talk in Vancouver 2 years ago. And he did all this scientific data about the fact, and he called it the end of history illusion. He said, we all walk around with the illusion that our personal history has come to an end, that we have just recently become the person that we're always meant to be and always will be. So all of us walk around thinking, this is it. I'm 45, my marriage has fallen apart, and this is it. And what he says, so he does all this data. He asks people, he gets 1,000 people in the study, and he asks 500 people to predict the amount of change that'll happen in their life over the next 10 years. He asks the other half of the people to talk about the amount of change that's happened in the last 10 years. And what he found is that people of every age vastly underestimate the amount of change that we'll all go through throughout the next 10 years. And what I want to say is that people that have a robust spiritual life see themselves as partnering with God through that change. They don't see God on the throne making all the changes, writing history as if it's a blueprint. They see themselves with agency and with activity. And the things that are happening in their lives are a reflection of life that will always continually change.
Okay, I gotta throw this in now, because as I'm hearing you talk, you strike me as an achiever.
You are right.
You strike me as a number three.
I am a three on the Enneagram. You have pegged me.
So you people, and I say that with the fondest of whatever.
I need to know what you are, though, first. I need to know what you are.
I'm a sucky little four.
I love fours. Fours. The world needs fours. But go. What's your?
Dude, you would have said that any number I would have thrown out. You would have said that.
I'm a seven.
You know, by the way, the Enneagram Institute. We're going to have one of their big kahunas on our show once a month for the next 7 months.
Oh, cool.
For a half hour, we're going to pull apart the Enneagram every month on the show. So looking forward to that. Anyway, my point behind this, Steve, is, and by the way, the website is steve.wiens.com. That's Wiens. Steve,
right.
Being a three, being an achiever, you people are weird, man. Are there not control issues in your life? Because here you are writing a book about, you know, the movie Frozen. Let it go. And I just...
I don't know where you got that, but okay, keep going.
No, but that's part of this book is helping people to lighten the heck up and partner with God. No?
No. No. I mean, keep going, but no.
Okay, well, what I'm trying to get to is, how does an achiever like you write a book like this?
Well, I think it's because I really do see life as continually changing and evolving. And I think there's, like, right now, our world is a mess. It is scary. It is, we see what's happening with the refugee crisis all over the world. We see, I mean, in my city, there's a kid that just got gunned down by police, a black kid, and it is tense. It's scary. And so I can either say, all right, well, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and I got to bunker down and say, you know, wait until the rapture or something. Or else I can say, I believe that the world is continually being recreated by God and that I have a role to play in that. And so I think that's part of my three. I mean, that's part of my achiever. Mm. But I also think that's part of what gives me some hope that each of us have a part to play. And fours, right? You talk about the fours. We need art and beauty and creativity and passion in our world right now for the beauty to come back out. And I think that's... And so my book, I mean, I tried to write an elegant theology meets memoir, you know, meets narrative about how I believe life can be different in this world and how I believe people can know what time it is in their lives, following an ancient book that many people think is irrelevant, but that I think is this really revolutionary and elegantly creative story of all kinds of different people. I mean, King David, he's Bono wrapped up with Frank Underwood, and that's right there in the Bible. I mean, that's who he is, right? And so, you know, but we read him as like King David. Oh, but no, I mean, the Bible is filled with like complexities, and so I want to introduce people into that kind of this crazy, complex, and beautiful book.
Tim,
yes, sir.
Where's your brain?
It is at home, but I brought something else.
Thank you.
There's just hi, Steve. I'm Tim. I help Tim the Tool.
Don't introduce yourself. Nobody cares about
okay.
you.
Okay. This disembodied voice wants to ask a question here. One of the things I'm just reading here, I guess this is a summation. As God orchestrated the ultimate transition when he created everything from nothing, he can handle the overwhelming details in your life. I guess for me, a quote like that, it can be very comforting, but I also know you had mentioned earlier about, you know, it's the people who are spiritually adept or mature or whatever, look at it more of a partnership. And I guess I'm wondering, where do we find that balance? Like, you know, yeah, God can handle the relationships. Is God also serving as an example, or sorry, God can handle the problems in life. Is God also serving as a mentor, an example as well? Is that what you're trying to get at? That if he can do it, so can I, or...
Or is he more hands-on?
Yeah, like, where's the partnership part here?
Yeah, and let me throw in an addendum to Tim's question, because Tim's question sucks.
Yeah.
the addendum is this. I don't see God's hand. I don't feel God's touch. I can barely believe in a God. And so when you're talking about participating with God in this new year, you know, this 2016, here we go. It's time to giddy up. Okay, God, here we go. Let's do it together. That's all I got.
Right.
Eh.
It's not even a question. At least mine was a question.
Well, my, okay.
All right.
Mine sounded more Hebrew than
it did. Maybe. Yes.
Eh. Well, no, I think it's a great question, actually, because and I would even include the great addendum there as a great question. What do you do? How do you partner with a God that frankly feels distant, yep. feels remote, yep. feels removed?
And if God is in control, I think that's the thing I was trying to say. If God is in control, yeah. then yeah. What part do we play?
Okay, so first of all, I would say that phrase, God is in control, is not a helpful phrase.
No, it reminds me of the Christian yeah. contemporary Christian music scene from the 1980s.
Twyla Paris.
Right, right. And I think we need to sort of have the creative license to say when things aren't helpful anymore. Like that phrase, not helpful. I don't think it's helpful for anyone who's ever gone through any kind of pain. It's basically the middle finger. It's saying, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to talk to you about it. God is in control, so can we please move on from your petty little problem?
Well said.
And I think that's not helpful. Right? So when I was 32, my wife and I lived in Detroit, Michigan, you know, the beautiful Detroit. And I was in a job in a church that I actually, I fell into a dark depression. It was really, really bad. I quit that job.
It was Detroit.
Detroit was tough, but this job was tough and I quit, but I had no other job. And so Mary and I moved into my parents' basement, at the age of 32, which is what you do when you're killing it at life, by the way. I was a pastor. I'd worked in the church, I think, for 7 or 8 years at that point, and I felt like I was done, and I didn't want to work in the church anymore. I felt like fried, crispy. I had no possible hope at that point. And all of my three, so for those of you who are listening to Enneagram 3, we wake up every morning thinking like we've accomplished nothing in life, and so we have to accomplish more and more and more. That's why I was called an achiever, which I am. And so in that dark basement, I had to wrestle down who I am. And I eventually, I am in the process of doing that. And I think my book is, if you tie back to the creation story, creation begins in what is called tohu vavohu, this beautiful Hebrew phrase which means chaos.
Wait,
is nothing
it, hold on.
The void.
Isn't yeah. that the song that the people from Whoville sing in The Grinch? Tohu vavohu.
Sounds like a Finnish hockey player.
Oh my gosh, we have just united the theory of what the Grinch really is about.
Yeah, thank
on
you.
The show.
Thank you.
Oh my, this is so beautiful.
Okay.
We've done it.
Sorry. As you were saying, tohu.
That's so good. Tohu vavohu is what is translated as the void, the black, the darkness, the chaos that exists before day one, before light. And so what I write about in this book is the fact that before every significant beginning, there actually needs to be and has to be this period of tohu vavohu. It's this time where you feel empty and dark and vacant. I also write about the first time God speaks to someone who runs out in the wilderness to die is this non-Hebrew woman named Hagar, this Egyptian woman who's been used by Abraham to be his surrogate. She runs out to the wilderness to die, and she finds the God who sees her finally. And so I have hope. I can't tell anyone, you're going to find the God who sees you. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? But I do have hope in a God who is looking for people who feel like they're right in the middle of the tohu vavohu. That's what I would say.
You've just given me a nice parting phrase for people, which is actually quite, hold on, I got to write this down before I go, is my prayer for you is that you find the God who sees you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've kind of dried up with those kind of platitudes. There's too many triggers in the platitudes that I've had for 30 years. And it's almost like I'm trying to generify things. Anyway, I've just made the whole thing about me again all of a sudden. It's a spiritual gift of mine.
I love it. No, I actually, can I say it? I love that. I love that as a prayer. I love that as, because we typically freak out when the guy we've believed in no longer works for us. Like, oh my gosh, what's happened? But I think the God who is called, I will be what I will be, will always do that. We'll always break out of whatever box that we've made for that God. That's okay. So we built a box for God. That's fine. That's what we do. But that box will always have to be shattered and broken. And that's a brutal thing but that's life, right? I mean, that's a robust human life. Platitudes and all that stuff, they don't work because they don't work.
You know what else doesn't work? Having a ponytail, living in Belgium, and having a stutter.
I know, man. Yeah, I grew up stuttering really badly until I was probably 14 or 15. And then what happened was, what I've since learned never happens, is that I just kind of gradually grew out of it. But it was a huge deal. I mean, lots of insecurity. I couldn't talk. I couldn't talk to people. Every time people asked me how I was, I just froze up. And then people got all nervous. Have you ever been around a stutterer?
Well, yeah. Actually, I'm thinking of a guy I know, and I remember, and no one taught me this, but I remember being patient. I knew it was smart for me to be patient and let him finish the stinking sentence, not try to finish it for him.
And you're totally right. But it's frustrating, right? I mean, it's really frustrating. I mean,
yeah.
It's hard to wait.
Yeah, I would say today, Junior.
Anyway, yeah, see, it's sensitive fours like that. That's what they do.
You know what? Yeah, listen, I'm just looking at our clock. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. We've got to go to the next guest here. But, Steve, you, first of all, Don Pape was right. I should get you on the show. I did get you on the show. Mm. We ripped you off with time. But I really want people to get this stinking book. Beginnings, the first 7 days of the rest of your life. If you've ever gotten a January book, a New Year book, that you were hoping it would be a good New Year book, this is the good New Year book for you, folks. Beginnings, the first 7 days of the rest of your life. The website is steveweens.com, W-I-E-N-S, Steve Weens. He's a pretty good-looking guy. He's got earrings and stuff, you know. Yeah. Tim, your mic's off.
And a ponytail.
No, he cut his ponytail off.
Oh. No, no.
He donated it to cancer or something, didn't you?
That was bad. Yeah. That was a bad, bad, bad thing.
Listen, at least you didn't have a mullet like I did. I tried to grow my afro out, and like to be a big fro,
yeah?
Or, you know, to get long hair, and it just went fro-y.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's my hair. I have curly hair, so it was a fro for years before it was long. It was terrible. It was just a terrible 3 years of my life.
You kind of look like a Q-tip, Drew.
I did?
Yeah. You and Dave Smiley.
I was the first non-Jewish Jew fro. I was. Steve.
I want to get you on my podcast, my friend. I do a podcast called This Good Word, and you would be, I just love your questions. I love your thoughts. So I'm gonna pester you and bug you until that happens.
Oh, geez. I mean, oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Steve, listen, happy Hanukkah Kwanzmas. I wish you all the best for 2016. Great to chat with you. And thanks for writing a book with a little testicular fortitude. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Drew. Great to be on the show.
All right, Steve. Take care.
One gun out here.